This morning I want to continue in the same spiritual vein as last Sunday's word. And if you didn't hear last Sunday's, it'd probably be good in conjunction with the word this morning. We're breaking into an awareness of knowing and pleasing the Father, something that's a whole nother consciousness. It is the mind of Christ. And I want to continue in this vein. I think it's a difficult focus to maintain. And if you think about it, when Jesus walked the earth, everyone was focused and gave a lot of attention to all the things that he did, the miracles he worked, he spoke with authority, and the acts of God. Everybody was aware of that. But Jesus, behind all that, Jesus was the first human being that God could live in and move through and manifest through. How many people saw that? In this day and age, I'd like to say in the 21st century that being in church will support your pursuit of the Father. But unfortunately, a lot of church focus is about the blessing and not the blesser. Christianity tends to revolve around catering to ourselves instead of abandoning ourselves to the Lord. Amen. So, until that focus changes, I think pursuing a revelation of the Father is something we have to do as individuals. And we have to decide, is it something we want? And we always want to hear, well, if I seek God, then what's he going to do for me? Well, see, that hook needs to be taken out of the equation. The what's in it for me, as long as we're focused on that, we're not really pursuing God. Let's go into this a little bit this morning. And again, I hope it's something that, as a river touches something in your heart, and a flow comes out from within you, that this becomes a life pursuit for all of us. When our spirit hears this truth of knowing the Father, pleasing the Father, it's sweet. Our heart rejoices in it. Something you know inside that, yeah, that's what it's all about. But that becomes a bitter pill for our soul to swallow. What's sweet to our spirit, we rejoice in on a heart level. Our soul, which is our mind, our emotions, our will, struggles with. It brings about changes. I have something I think is prophetic as far as this process we're in. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. It says, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. Let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. All flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Okay. As this revelation in life begins to hit our soul, it disrupts what we're used to. It's a good disruption. Every valley is lifted up. In your life where you've been injured by fears, feeling condemned. Those are valleys. A lot of people, for them, life is just kind of struggling out of a hole. That's all based on a lie. Well, God brings healing to lift us up so we're not bound by fear. All the mountains are made low, where pride has poisoned us. We're exalted ourselves. That same flow of life, that river of life, brings the mountains down where there isn't that arrogance and pride. The rough talks about the rough places, rugged terrain, a broad valley. Our soul is not bad. I think whenever you look in the scriptures, it talks about wilderness. It's referring to our soul. It's not a bad place. Look at what God did in the wilderness with the Israelites. It's a place where God needs to work and bring healing and change. Are we open to that? So this revelation of knowing the Father, we welcome it, but know at the same time that that welcoming, that word into your spirit, is going to disrupt, bring healing and change to your soul life. What happens when we let that take place? The glory of the Lord is revealed for everyone to see. We want to see the glory of God revealed in this natural realm. How's it going to happen? By a people that are obedient and submissive to allowing their soul life, their inner wilderness, to be changed by the presence of God. When he can do that work in us, nothing prevents his glory from being seen in the world around us. Amen. So, I want us to look at something today. What gets in the way of this revelation of just pursuing the Father? It makes such sense. That's what Jesus was all about. We went into this in great detail last week. We have something in this country that's become an idol that I believe stands right in front of us and blocks revelation that God wants to give us. And that idol is called the American Dream. That phrase was coined back in 1931 by James Adams, and it went like this. The American dream is a dream in which each man and each woman shall be able to attain to the fullest stature of which they are innately capable and be recognized by others for what they are. Now that is inbred in our psyche. You're in this country, that's a part of how you think. Now, is there anything wrong with achieving things, prosperity? No. But when those things become an idol, they block us from God. Is money evil? No. The love of money is the problem, right? So this whole American dream is about what we can accomplish. And we don't realize that when we make an idol of that and we pursue that, that becomes an enemy to our walk with the Lord. It blocks our relationship with God. Now, I think in the church, that has become really a part of the theology. A lot of the church level of awareness and theology is a mixture of scriptures and the American dream.
That's right.
You know, come to God and God will give you what you want. Now, I don't need to talk to you today about pursuing the blessing of God. We're all masters of that. We spend a lifetime doing that. But what we need to develop is pursuing the blesser, the one behind the blessings. And as long as this American dream dominates our minds and our hearts, we can put all kinds of scriptures to it. Well, God wants me to prosper. He wants to give me good blessings. All true. But when things are out of order and all these things that shall be added become the primary thing we're seeking, the revelation that God wants to bring to us is being hindered and blocked. We need to be healed of that. In the gospel, God confronts us with our utter inability to accomplish anything of value apart from him. John 15:5, that's what Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He also said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, this church in the church world, this view of God supporting the American dream. Listen, the American dream is not the kingdom of God. It's not God's dream. This American dream can become a nightmare if we don't let God deal with the idol. It's like that carrot in front of us. You're pursuing something that can never satisfy your heart, and God never put that carrot there to start with. Church awareness, unfortunately, often does not support our quest to know and please the Father. We have to break through on our own heart. We need to look at what Jesus had to say. And don't turn to these verses. There's a bunch of them, and I feel like I just want to read them for you. In John 14:6, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. In John 1:18, he said, no man has seen God at any time. John 6:46, not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Okay, what are these verses talking about? Let's get impacted by them. No one has seen God at any time except the Son. What that means is we are not aware of who God is through our minds, through religion. The only one that knows the Father is Jesus Christ. And only the Son can reveal the Father to us. So our concern has got to be, do we know Christ? Are we following Christ? He's the example. We can't get to the Father any other way. How did Jesus live? What was he all about? I'm leading to something here. I think we have a distorted view of Jesus. And we really don't receive him as he is. And so we really don't know the Father like he needs to be known by us. We see Jesus as this Superman who came out of heaven. At some point, as he was growing up, he recognized, hey, I'm the Son of God. He went out because he was Son of God, and he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He spoke with great authority, and we just marvel at it. But if you look at the scriptures, Jesus didn't do any of those things. John 5:19 says, again, please don't turn. The Son of Man can do nothing of himself. John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own initiative. John 8:28, I can do nothing on my own initiative. I'm telling you how many verses talk about this. John 12:49, for I did not speak on my own initiative. Now, each of these verses has more to it, but I'm just highlighting what I want us to get. In John 14:10, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Jesus didn't heal the sick. The Father in him healed the sick. Everything that we see through Jesus wasn't through his own strength in who he was. He had the Father living in him. And when you look at the life of Jesus, this would be a good study. We say Jesus did that, he said that. For 3.5 years, the Father was able to live in a human being and express himself to the world. Everything he did was what the Father was all about. So here we have Jesus who is telling everybody, hey, I'm not some spiritual Superman here. I can't do anything out of myself. I am totally yielded to the Father. Everything you see through me is the Father. And we've got to get this. Because if we look at Jesus as being some spiritual Superman, then we try in our own strength to get stronger and be spiritual. We're missing the whole point. The Word must end our distorted view of Jesus. If we can't see the way that he lived, we're not going to find the Father. If he did nothing on his own initiative, how do we find the reality of God? We have to have that same emptying process within ourselves. Matthew chapter 7, you can turn here, verse 21. We've read this in recent weeks too. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and your name cast out demons, and your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The will of God is expressed here as not a doing, but a knowing. Jesus is saying these people are out doing all these things, the right things, greater works. But he looks at them and said, he looks and says, wait a minute, I don't know who you are. There's no relationship there. There's no knowing of who he is. So we've got to understand, what does it mean to be lawless? To me, it's a scary thing. Because we are so performance-oriented, so works-oriented. And if we're doing things, we think, oh, God must be smiling now. Look what I'm producing. God doesn't smile at what you produce. We smile. Our egos smile. God is looking for you to know him. He wants relationship with you. And I think I look at this verse and I think, Lord, how are we being lawless if we're doing the right things? We're lawless if we're doing them apart from God. In the garden, there were two trees. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. The sin that was committed, God said, you all know the story, I hope you do at this point. God said, don't eat of one tree, you can do anything else you want. Now remember, in the garden, being human meant you had communion with the Father. There was fellowship. They ate of the tree of knowledge. And what was the lure of that tree? If you eat of this tree, you can be like God. Satan came in and saying, here's what you can do in your independence to be like God. What did they lose by partaking of the poison of that tree? They lost fellowship with the Father. So as long as we're independent contractors, we have no fellowship with the Father. Now, as an independent contractor, what I'm saying is, God, I want your blessing. I want to do your will. I want to do the right things. I'm going to do it in my strength. I certainly ask for your help, but I'm in control here. I'm driving the car. You just put gas in the car, and I'll drive it. And God is saying, no, that's not how it works. See, that's what the tree of knowledge brings, of good and evil. We can be doing good things. The tree of knowledge has good, it's not just bad fruit. You eat the bad fruit, you become greedy, and you become selfish, and we say, oh, I don't want to be like that. I want to be like Mother Teresa. I want to help all people. I want to do wonderful things. That's the good fruit. The point is, if it's independent from God, it doesn't please him. What did Jesus do? He emptied himself and let the Father live in him. Right. To end this idea and this false thinking of being independent contractors means we still do good works, but we're in a place where we're dependent on God. We don't do anything apart from God. And in that state, we know him and we please him. When we're lawless or independent, it blocks our revelation of who he is. We can't really know him if we're acting independent. That's the whole thing of the American dream, isn't it? What you can accomplish, what you can do, and everybody else is going to recognize how great you are. Do you see how that's so anti the way of the Lord? God is saying, I want to live in you. I want everything you do to be a part of me and you. And then what does that lead to? Well, it leads to whatever God wants to produce. Greater works than we can ever produce in ourselves, I'm sure. Philippians 2. You knew I couldn't get through the word without going there, right? But don't turn it off just because we've been there a lot lately. I think you'll see something new in it. I did. We're talking about an attitude that Christ had. This is what we need to have. Verse 6, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. What's it talking about? Jesus emptied himself of his greatness. When he discovered, hey, I'm the Son of God, he goes, wait a minute. Equality with God, this is not something I want to grasp right now. He emptied that. It says he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Now, he emptied himself of of his own greatness, so why? So God could be seen. He took the form of a bondservant. That's how he related to his humanity. Now get this. Jesus discovered he was a son of God. God was in him. He humbles himself. How does he relate to being human? He humbles himself. His response to his humanity was to humble himself before the Father, to empty himself. And he was obedient. Obedience is not just what we're doing. We always focus on obedience as I'll do this for God. He tells me that, I'll follow through. Obedience is a state of heart. How are we supposed to relate to our humanity? Well, I've got so many, I've got to fix all these problems I've got. I've just got to analyze them to death. Maybe there's a better way. Jesus looked at his humanity and just said, I'm humbling myself before the Father. I'm just going to empty it out. When we humble ourselves, our humanity can no longer restrain us from what God wants. It can't get in the way. And obedience is that process of humility, of emptying ourselves. What is God looking for? To live in us, for us to really know Him and please Him. When we discover our life, what do we do with it? Do we hold on to it and say, God bless it, I'm going to run with it? That's what an independent contractor does. Or do we say, like the heart of this Philippians 2, Father, whatever you've given me, I give it back to you. It's this act, and I think it's so hard for us to do this. I know it's not easy, but the Holy Spirit's in us to enable us to do this. To give your life, to give what you value. Most of us value our independence. What we can do in ourselves. To be able to give that back to God and say, none of this is mine. My life, my dreams, my hopes, my gifts, my talents, it doesn't belong to me. Amen. Father, I give it back to you. That's what Jesus did. That's how he emptied himself. He gave everything back to God. When he was on the cross, and then you read this in Luke 23:46, what did he say? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then it was over. But that wasn't just something he did then. That's how he lived his life. Father, into your hands I commit all that I am. What was the reality that came out of that? God lived, breathed, and moved through him. Giving up what we value. Well, God, I'd like to give you all the things that are wrong with me. Yeah, that's part of it too. You can have my fears, you can have my mistakes, my failures. Don't stop there. Jesus gave it all up. Hey, I'm the Son of God, but I'm laying that down. I'm not equality with God. I'm not going to grasp that right now. He just humbled himself, let it all go, and God became everything in him. What do we gain from doing this? Do I have to tell you all the promises and all the things you'll get? All I got to do is say one thing. What you gain is the Father. How important is that to us? Well, I ask the Lord to put his fire under this revelation. I know it's part of us. I know everyone in this room wants this. There's a groaning too deep for words that we just, God, we want to know you. We want it to be your life, your will flowing through us. But in and of ourselves, we'll get distracted, don't we? I can tell you right now, if without God's help, pursuit of the blessing will take over my pursuit of the blesser before this day is out. Some problem will come up, right? Some issue will come up. We were created for more than just being a need-based people that have God answer our prayers. We were created to be in fellowship with Him, to be His dwelling place. Lord, we ask for your grace. We ask that your Holy Spirit be free to move in our lives. That this revelation that we see, this glimmer, this light, continue to grow and abound in us. That this becomes something that consumes our lives, that becomes our focus, Lord. Like Jesus, we know our destiny is that when people look at us, they're not seeing a human ego, they're not seeing a religious spirit, but they're seeing you, Father, and who you really are. We ask for this, Lord, in your name. Amen.